Welcome to Freedomizer Radio on this glorious Saturday. This three-hour time slot brings you the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory. Enjoy the show.
Sabbath Hour on Freedomizer Radio. I'm Brother Gregory, and I talk about the Kingdom of God. And I'll ask you today, what is the Kingdom of God? What does it look like? What is it? Why do people say it? I mean, Jesus was preaching the Kingdom of God. John the Baptist was preaching the Kingdom of God. The apostles were told to go out and preach the Kingdom of God. Is the Kingdom of God where you go when you die? Or is it for the living? I mean, Jesus said the kingdom of God was at hand. He said the kingdom of God is for the living, not for the dead. And so the kingdom of God is something different than simply life after death. The kingdom of God is the government of God. To say kingdom, basileia in the Greek, is just another way of saying government. Because that is the ruling influence or authority or whatever it is that governs you. So the question of you're seeking the kingdom of God, what you're seeking is the right to be ruled by God. And that's something most people don't have the right to be ruled by God. They're ruled by other men. Other men make laws for them, regulate them, force them to contribute at their beck and call and their whim. As a matter of fact, today, modern citizens in most governments are called human resources. They're even called human capital, which we talked about a couple of shows ago, where the people at the post office are now using the term that as an employee, they're human capital. That's an amazing shift of consciousness and the 100 monkeys seem to be going in the wrong direction. They're going in the direction of becoming human capital, which is just, a slight inch in vocabulary, and human capital becomes human cattle. So the design that God had was that you individually had dominion on this planet. You walked in his graces and in his spirit and in his ways, and you had dominion over the fish, over the sea, over everything else. But if you give the power of that dominion to somebody else, then someone else will have dominion over your choices. And that's the essence of bondage, is that someone else has the right to decide what you're going to do today, what you're going to do this afternoon, what you're going to do 10 years from now. They get to decide, not you. In that case, you no longer have dominion. You no longer have what God gave every man, dominion. And he told us when he gave dominion that we were to dress it and keep it. Now, this morning we the Keys of the Kingdom program that begins at 8 o'clock here on the Pacific shores of America. And before that, at 7:30, we were on Blog Talk, and we talked about this. And we'll have those shows up for you so that you can listen to them. But the show began with the topic of Servanda Pacta Sunt, or Pacta Servanda Sunt. Agreements must be kept, is the translation from the Latin. And the Servanda, it, of course, sounds a lot like servant, but it has to do with keeping those pactas, those pacts, those those compacts. You know, a compact is a contraction of rights into the hands of somebody, either a body or an individual. And that's why we call it a compact. Contract is a contraction of your rights invested in someone. So all these things centralize authority, centralize power. The Ten Commandments put you in the kingdom of God, where God had the authority and each individual was a bearer of that dominion. This was the kingdom of God at the time of Moses, the kingdom of God at the time of Abraham. You know, most people think that Jesus was going to come and establish the kingdom of God that didn't exist already. But we hear Jesus saying, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was going to take, the kingdom was already there. The right to be ruled for God was already there, but most people had lost the right to be ruled by God. They'd gone under the authority of Rome, or they'd gone under the authority of Herod, and they no longer had the right to rule themselves. Oh, they get some choices. You know, am I going to go to the chariot races, or am I going to go to the wrestling match? You get to decide. You know, if I'm going to go collect my free bread, am I going to do it over here at Safeway with my food stamps, or am I going to go over here to Food for Less and do it? So you have some choices, but basically, you know, if they go to rationing food, you'll have a choice, starve or accept their benefit. And that's because power is constantly increasing, because these contractual relationships are constantly contracting. And that's why you see governments with more and more power. How do they get that power? We waive our right to the responsibility that is paramount as a people. Now, what did God do when he originally created the earth, supposedly, as we see in this story that we read in Genesis? And he did it and created the animals, and all these things are the product of this omnipresence creative force that we sometimes call God or Yahweh. He doesn't even need a name. I mean, who gave him his name? His dad? You know, who named God? And when we named the animals, it was because we had dominion over them. Who names God? Who has dominion over him? He doesn't really have a name. We put a name so we have some reference point of talking about him. But he's the existing one. He just exists. He is just this creative force in the universe that allows the universe to exist. And whatever that is, wherever he is, whatever God is, we are a product of that creative force. He's breathed life and consciousness into us. But if we follow the story, what we actually see there, we want to put it down in human terms, is that God created a trust. He said that I give you dominion over the fish, over the things that crawl, over the earth. You have dominion. That's something he's giving you. But he put conditions on it. So then it's not totally given. You don't own the earth. You hold it in trust. And if you don't dress it and you don't keep it, you don't get it. Somebody else will get it. And that's why he said to dress it and keep it. So God created a trust. Well, there's an axiom in law that a trust cannot stand within a trust. Well, actually, trusts are often within a trust, but what they're saying is the pre-trust takes precedent. The new trust is always subordinate to the original trust. So you were given dominion, all the people were given dominion, but what's happened is like Cain went out of the presence of God, and he created a trust too. And his trust was corporate in nature, and we call it a city-state. And that city-state, as a corporate creation of Cain and the people who followed Cain and became subordinate to Cain, they created something, a similar relationship as we had once with God in the garden. And that similar relationship that we created made gods of men. Because now those men stand between us and that creative force that was guiding us, that we walked with in the garden. And now they tell us where we are to go and stand, and the offerings that we would have given to God of heaven, we now give to the gods of earth, the God many that Paul talks about, the men who we are not to make covenants with, nor their gods. That's what it says in the Ten Commandments. But we have made covenants with them, and we have neglected our responsibility and our dominion. And some people want to rescind and nullify that original agreement with whoever is your God or your government. You know, you're not in the kingdom of heaven. You're in the kingdom of Canada or the kingdom of the United States or the kingdom of Massachusetts. You want to be a citizen of that government. And those governments, you know, originally Massachusetts was kind of a republic. It wasn't a pure republic as far as I could find in history, but it leaned more towards republic values than the United States ever did, or Canada ever did. Canada is a part of, you know, the British Commonwealth. So what is this, the nature of this relationship we have today? We've gone back under Nimrod. We've gone back under Pharaoh. We've got the book, The Covenants of the Gods, which explains an employee versus enslaved, that you're all under tribute. You're all back in the bondage of Egypt, but it's worse with you. Bondage of Egypt, they couldn't charge more than 20% of your labor for taxes. You know, you had to give one-fifth of everything you earned in a given year to the government. And that was the ceiling limit. But that ceiling limit doesn't exist in Canada and Australia and the United States. It still does in Egypt, but it doesn't anywhere else. And so they often take far more than one-fifth. So you're back in that bondage. You've gone and elected rulers to exercise authority over you, despite the fact that Samuel said not to do that, and God warned against it. If you were going to do that, God told you to put four things, or five things, actually, in your Constitution, and only one of those is in the Constitution of the United States, and that's that you should not elect a foreigner, and evidently you're not even obeying the one thing you put in there. So you're kind of in a mess. You've got this huge contractual relationship at every level of your life with somebody else. You've gone into a trust where you've become a human resource, and now you want to do something about it. You want to change. You want to turn around. You want to go the other way. You say, this is a mistake, and I don't want to keep going this way. So this is what John the Baptist was telling you how to do. This is what Jesus Christ was preaching. Repent. That means turn around. It doesn't mean regret. It means turn around. Do something different. How did you get into bondage? Well, mostly the way people get into bondage is sinners entice them to lay in wait for gain in some sort of socialist state, where, as Paul puts it, what should have been for your welfare becomes a snare. All socialism leads to bondage. That's why Karl Marx was very much in favor of democracy and socialism. He loved democracy because democracy leads to socialism, and socialism leads to communism. So where do you think you're going? That's the direction all of the American society wants to go. Now, there's a handful of people in the American society and in Canada and Australia and England and probably in China that want to go the other way. They want to go back towards the kingdom of God and stop going to the kingdom of Babylon, Nimrod, where he's a mighty provider instead of the Lord. So how do you get there? How do we do this? You've gone into this trust. All governments have two aspects to their existence. They're corporate and they're a trust. When you pay in your taxes, those taxes go into a trust. You're the grantor. Now, you're a grantor not under free will offerings. You're a grantor under force, fear, and compulsion. And that's why it says in the Bible, until John the Baptist, the people tried to take the kingdom of heaven by force. The word heaven there, according to most Greek scholars that I've read in modern times that have any political or religious agenda, the word they use for heaven is best translated world. And that's why you see the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven interchangeable. You only find the words kingdom of heaven in Matthew. And that was because Matthew was translated from another language into Greek. And in that translation, what he had put down there that we represent as the kingdom of heaven translated into Basileus Uranos. But Uranos is best translated world according to some of the top Greek scholars of today. And if you go back and look at its usage at that time, that's usually what it meant. And even the definition in your Strong's Concordance talks about it being heaven. Uranos is the vaulted ceiling of the sky and everything within it. That's from the top of the atmosphere all the way down to the core of the earth. And that's the way the Greeks thought about it. That's the way the Romans thought about it. But unfortunately, when we mention heaven, they think you mean when we go off to some place where angels play harps. And I don't see where that exists anywhere in the Bible. I mean, they make vague references to life after death, but God is the God of the living. And that's why Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is for the living, not for the dead. So if we were given dominion and Christ preached the kingdom of God, where we were free souls under God, then that's what we should be striving for. So what does that look like? How do we get there? How do we get out of this mess that we're in today when we're in bondage, our children are born in bondage, and our grandchildren are born in bondage? Where are you able simply to rescind the contract and say, I don't want to do that anymore? Well, you probably could do that if you can find some place to stand. But this new world order they have is a lot more pervasive on the face of the earth than the old world order back in the days of Rome. You could actually escape Rome. When you were in bondage in Egypt, you could have escaped. And, you know, if you can get across Sinai before they catch you and get through Canaan, you could probably go up somewhere else and live. And I'm sure many people did. But today, where do you escape to? You go to Brazil, you go to Santo Domingo. They all have that. In Santo Domingo, they have a card that you get, like a Social Security card. You get it. It's your employee identification number. And you can go get jobs with that. You can show that at an employer, and if he wants to hire you, he will write down that number, and he'll give you the job, and he'll pay you a good salary. But he will take 20% out of your wages and pay that to the government. But only 20%. That's the way it works there. Again, they got a better contract than you do in the United States or Australia. But you get that card, you show it, you can get a job, but they will take 20% out of your labor. If you don't get the card, you may still be able to get a job. They will not take anything out of your wages, but they'll probably pay you less. Unless you have a special skill or something, but you don't have to get that cessula. If you don't get the cessula, you don't get public school. You don't get free health care. Because that's only for members of that system of Corbin. Same thing going on in Rome at the time of Christ. Same thing going on in the kingdom of Herod at the time of Christ. And that was the Corbin that made the word of God to none effect. Because by applying for that Corbin to these men who govern that system, who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, you're making a covenant with them that you're saying it's okay to take from your neighbor to provide you with benefit. I know a guy, the day he turned 18, actually I think it was the day before he turned 18, I'm not sure exactly how that worked, but anyway, yeah, it was just before he turned 18, his parents were in a car accident and they were both killed, and he's been on disability the rest of his life, all paid for by Social Security. He was injured. He was almost a quadriplegic. He was a paraplegic anyway, and he did have use of his arms, but he was pretty bad off. But he developed a shop, a mechanic shop, and had other people working for him, and his bed rolled around in the mechanic shops, and he moved around with the rings that he had hanging, and he was doing pretty good. But his medical was paid by the Social Security and all that stuff. But somebody got an idea that they wanted his property, and the guy who had connections with the mafia and government, same thing. Eventually, he was getting all kinds of citations from builders and business inspectors and stuff like that. They complained that the extension cord to his bed was not covered, and you had to have all your cords covered in the shop. This was his mechanic shop, or it was a machine shop kind of, and he only had like one employee, but in order to get around, he had this cord going to his bed, and they cited him for that. And they cited him for everything you could imagine. Things outside, a car parked outside. This is out in the country. But they wanted that property to square up the property of this wealthy guy. And so they just harassed him, and he tried to fight it using Patriot methods, and they took him to jail. And, of course, in jail, he did not have the facilities that he had at home to take care of himself, so nobody was there to clean him, when he had to defecate and stuff. And he got gangrenous sores and bed sores because they wasn't allowed to bring his stretcher bed in while they put him in jail. This is all for simple citations. It's just an absolute travesty that this went on. And eventually, the rich man got his property. And you could go to all the churches in that community, and they wouldn't do anything about it. Well, that's not our job. We're here to whatever they're here for. I can't even imagine. But they, that's a government job. Oh, that wasn't their interest. And we couldn't get any support to help them. It was hundreds and hundreds of miles. We did get them finally in front of a federal judge, and we stayed this off for years, but eventually the guy just wore out. The fact that he had lived as long as he did under those conditions were just amazing. But all you Christians out there, you so-called Christians, you all singing in your churches, you weren't doing anything for him. You weren't tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You were actually out there coveting your neighbor's goods through your systems of Corbin, forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And the guy was trying to figure out what, he was a hard-working guy, but the fact is he was enmeshed in the system. He was subject to the administrative courts. Nobody would help him because they've all learned to just do for themselves, and they don't care about anybody but what makes them comfortable. They don't want to get involved. They might cost them something. And so evil is pervasive. So now when your day comes, when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, do you expect anybody will come to your aid? No, and they shouldn't. Do you think God will hear your prayers? No, I doubt it. He said he wasn't going to. So in order to get back to this state of freedom, you have to change. You not only have to do things a little different, you have to become different. You have to change your ways. You have to consider righteousness more important than your own life. And there are people out there that will do that. We see it when, these governments send your sons off to war. Your sons fight and die and sacrifice themselves, not for flags and constitutions, but for their buddies. Those men... That's to kill those men is the purpose of war. To kill anybody who has such integrity is the purpose of war. To drain the character out of these people through systems of socialism is the purpose of socialism. Governments don't institute socialism so that because they love you. They want to weaken you. They hold you in contempt. And they want you subservient to them. They want you to be licking their boots. And they dwell in that power. They love that power that you give them. All you have to do to be a free people is to repent and turn around and do the other thing that you're not doing. You have to start caring about one another. and you have to start taking care of one another. Well, how do you do that? How do you develop, and who do you care about? I mean, you have to create some kind of a social network. That's all governments are, some form of social network. When the IRS knocks on your door to collect the taxes, that's your network. That's your social network. He has authority and exercising authority, and most people run down and pay before he gets there because they're afraid of him, and rightly so. You probably owe those taxes. We'll talk a little bit why you owe those taxes when we come back, but we're going to go to a break here pretty soon. I think we got a few more minutes before the half hour. There's a call-in number, I guess, Cheryl, like, if I can pull that up. I think I can find that right here. It's the same number that I called to call in, I guess. And if anybody has any questions, it's 347-324-3704. And I didn't pull up the chat room, so I don't know what's going on in the chat room. But if there's questions that people would like to have answered in the second half of the show, I'll give that number one more time again so everybody can get their pencil. I always hate it when people rattle off those numbers real fast because I can never remember them. So, well, 347 is the first part. That's your area code, 347. And the second part is 324. And I'll repeat that for everybody's pen who didn't keep writing. And they're looking for another pen. It's usually the way I do it here. 324.
Yes?
Say again?
Yeah. It happens to me, too.
Okay. So we got 347 first part, 324 second part, 3704. And don't be afraid to call, you guys out there. Everybody's always, you know, we were talking this morning, and I did watch the chat room on the one show, and all of a sudden when it got a little interesting, all the chatting stopped. Everybody, oh, they're listening now. Nobody's talking again. But I did get back to some of the questions that came up before we finished. But in the second half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the form and structure of a free government as opposed to the form and structure of the not-so-free government, which is usually what you have a choice of. Because everybody needs some form of government, but if you want a free government, it's going to look quite a bit different than what you see out there in the world today. So, anyway, is it too early to go to a commercial break?
No, that's fine. We can go right now.
Okay.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, everyone. You're listening to Freedomizer Radio and the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Well, we're back at Freedomizer Radio with Brother Gregory on the Sabbath Show. And Brother Gregory, would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Very good. Caller 845, do you have a question? Or?
Yes. Hi, Brother Gregory. This is Isabel again in New York.
Hello.
And hi. This is kind of a follow-up question to the question I asked you in the earlier show. And I'm kind of afraid to ask it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. but do we have to reach sainthood before changes occur in a reality that we can see?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Do we have to, as individuals, reach sainthood before changes occur in a reality that we can actually see?
No. No, absolutely not. I don't know. Is the sound coming through okay? Because I have a bunch of people here in the room, and I've got you on speakerphone. Is that working out for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. No, God's very clear for the prodigal son who's heading back home. He hasn't done anything right yet except for he's decided and repented and turned around, and his father runs out to meet him. That's a principle of the kingdom, that your father runs out to meet you, that the shepherd comes looking for the lost sheep. But the sheep must hear the voice, must respond, must turn around in order for the master to come. So as soon as you begin to turn around, God will run out and meet you. And I've already seen that, that long before I've done anything righteous in my, you know, I'm certainly not even righteous yet, but I see the power of God working. What people don't realize is that when you choose to covet your neighbor's goods, when you choose to make covenants with the people round about you and their gods, their lawmakers, their rulers, their ruling judges, you are cutting yourself off spiritually from a source of energy and power that will allow you to do what Christ said you would do, greater things than these even you shall do, and you become debilitated in many ways that you don't even understand. God will give you all kinds of protection and power, even when, you know, like, give you another example, Noah. Noah was not a righteous man. He had a lot of problems, but he was righteous in his generation, and God counted it as righteousness. He wasn't a saint, but he repented. Abraham, there was a guy who had all kinds of problems, made all kinds of mistakes. You know, I'm not belittling them or anything, but yet God said, well, if you just do this, I'll come and meet you halfway. And that's the way it was with the Israelites. But when you turn your back on one commandment after another, if you make covenants with them, if you covet your neighbor's goods, if you give power to men who actually do steal, taxes aren't stealing. Taxes are owed because you've become a member of a system that requires taxes. Now, you may have done it through ignorance rather than through covetousness, but still, Peter, through ignorance, said, yes, my master pays the tax, and Jesus held them to that. So, but as soon as we start to turn around and go the other way, God will provide for us in ways that only a father who runs out and meets his son. I mean, here his son is coming back, and this is the whole thing, is his son has not been faithful, his son has not been dutiful, and the father not only runs out and meets him, but prepares a fatted calf and a feast to have him back. I think Jesus is telling us that you don't have to become a saint to begin to reap the benefits of his protection. So anyway, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good to know that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's great. One of our questions, your questions this morning was, and it was along the same lines as you said, does the Holy Spirit having this power and influence in your life, prior to making these changes? Jesus was very clear about not jumping into the kingdom, but seeking it, turning around. The people who began to follow him were still in bondage. Same thing we saw with Moses when people started to learn to provide for themselves during the plagues. We haven't really got to the plagues. We can see them on the horizon. We can see the economic crunches that befell Egypt, and we are going to be befalling those, and the possibilities of shortages of food and the possibilities of disease with things like GMOs creating bad health. Already we have epidemics of cancer that are caused by the nature of our society, not just the chemistry in our bodies, but the actual nature of our society draws us into these disease-ridden states. And there number of diseases that are on epidemic proportions, but we have a society that can cover that up. I mean, women getting cancers is pervasive throughout this system, and there are so many things that we are doing to make that happen, men as well. And these are plagues that are already upon us, but the plagues that are come will be even greater. But if we will repent and start turning around and start, you know, instead of feeding our tongues, we dress and keep our bodies by proper diet, proper production of food, proper care for our neighbor. It will change the whole atmosphere in our bodies and protect us from disease. That's one of the things doctors are discovering, that attitude is a major portion of our health condition. And one of our attitudes today that is so common in the world is what's in it for me? How will this benefit me? And they don't want to do anything unless it benefits them. That selfish attitude sets you up for disease. It opens the door to those plagues. When you have the approach of Christ, you begin to shut the door to disease. You are not compatible to the disease. And then we could do a whole show on that, you know, viruses and how they get into the body and how they play on our physical body and how all that's connected actually spiritually and not merely physical. And we talked about a little of that on one of our shows not too long ago about the quantum nature of the spirit, which is the spirituality of creation. But anyway, I promised to talk a little bit more about the, I don't know if you're still there, Isabel, but thank you for the call.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Gregory.
Nice to hear you again. At the beginning of the call, at the beginning of the program, I was saying that the government of God is this right to be ruled by God. And in this thing we call the garden in the story, God has given dominion over the earth to Adam and Eve and all their offspring, and he's given it to them in trust. But over history, we constantly are failing to comply with the terms of those trusts, and we don't dress it, and we don't keep it, and we let someone else get dominion. We've seen that with Nimrod, we saw that with Pharaoh, we saw that with Caesar, and we see it with the present kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth, all of which are vying for power and control in this contracting system. There's a quote in the Bible, I ought to probably look it up, but I won't have, I'm not very good at looking things up while I'm on the phone. The quote is talking about distress of nations, a roaring of the sea, and talks about the future. And that distress of nations, the word there is actually a contracting of nations. And it's very easy to look at that in the Greek and think of that as the New World Order. It's a contracting of nations into one government instead of many nations. And that's what we're seeing, is the contracting of nations. That's what that prophecy is talking about. And it's not the first time. They were doing that, of course, in Rome, but we've never done it in recorded history as much as we are doing it today. And it also talks about roaring of seas, and you people can look up the quote, but roaring of seas, seas often represents people. That's all the people of the world are being contracted into this government. And in the governments that we're used to seeing, the people are human resources. They are members of the government. They have incorporated the government by vesting some of their rights in that government. And now that government has the power or liberty of choice over them. That's not ordained by God. That's actually, you have to go out of the presence of God to bring that about. And that's what we've done in every single country throughout the world, as we have given some of our rights over to these corporate entity governments. That's given them power. Once you give them power, men who seek power will seek the offices of that government. They will try to create more power. And as they create more power, more men will seek that office. It'll be more desirable for the power hungry people of this planet. And they will not rest till they have all power and you have none. And they will try to seduce you into weak states where they divide you with denominations. They divide you with doctrines, what they call sound doctrines. You know, this church has sound doctrines and this church has sound doctrines, and they won't have anything to do with each other because they have to remain faithful to their sound doctrines. Yet they fail to come together. You know, the kingdom of heaven is simple. Love thy neighbor as thyself, and to love God. above all else. Now, what is God? God is the creator of righteousness. That's why Jesus says, tend to the weightier matters, law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And that's why all the churches of the world today have condemned themselves, because they will not tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. The modern churches today have more in common with the Pharisees that killed Christ than they have in common with the Christians who followed Christ. They have taken the name of Christ, the title of Christ, even those who use the word Yeshua, have taken that name in vain. If they are not becoming, by their networking together, by their gathering together, the entire social welfare system of their society, their community. Now, we know most people are not going to want to do that. They're going to want to remain in Egypt. They're going to want to remain in Babylon. They're afraid to step out of the boat. They're afraid to step out towards liberty. So those of you who are not afraid need to start coming together and showing people that a free government is possible. I'm talking about a really free government. Any government that can compel taxes is not a free government. Governments of the world who can force the people, the members of that government, to contribute to it by statute, by law, by administrative courts, whatever, that is not a free government. That is a government that exercises authority, like John the Baptist, it was said about John the Baptist. Until John the Baptist, every single government was trying to establish itself by force. That didn't mean they conquered people. You know, that's another topic. We should do a whole show on that. The Nicolaitans that God hates. The Nicolaity. Nico meaning conquered, Laitian meaning people. Balaam. That is two words in the ancient Aramaic, and it means conquered people. How are these Nicolaitans conquered people? There's always this talk about the Nicolaitans in the Bible, and people say, oh, it was these people that followed Nicholas, and it was these people over here, but it means conquered people. The ways of the conquered people. How are they conquered? How are they conquered by Nimrod? I said it earlier, he was a mighty provider instead of the Lord. We usually see that translation as mighty hunter instead of before the Lord. But the word there is normally, everywhere else, translated provisions, not translated hunter. He was a mighty provider instead of the Lord. You didn't pray to God in heaven if you had a need. And you see, people don't realize that if you really pray to God on His terms, things will come to you. But God will require that you act. Remember, you have a job, dress it and keep it. You have responsibilities. You must be a doer of the word. But in your doing and yearning for whatever it is that you need, it will be provided if it is good for you. And that's quantum aspect of creation. We are made in the image of God, and we create the world that we live in. We create it by the desire of our hearts and our minds. And if we desire to rule over our neighbor, we will be ruled over. So if you desire democracy, you desire to be in bondage. Because a democracy is where 51% of the people can take away the rights of the 49. If that's the kind of government you want, your rights are now forfeit and dependent upon 51% of the people. And most people are selfish, so you're in a lot of trouble. So anyway, in order to get back, what we've done is formed a network of people at hisholychurch.org. And you can join that network in your local areas. Now, you don't become a member of a congregation. You just congregate. There's no compelled dues. There's no compelled tithing. There's no compelled taxes. But if you don't come together freely giving and freely receiving, amongst yourselves according to what you believe is right, then you will, your congregation will be of nothing. But you maintain the right to decide. In God's government, you still have to pay taxes, but you pay taxes according to your choice. The leaders are titular. They do not have the power to compel you to contribute. You must choose. That's the kingdom of God. That's the dominion that God wanted you to exercise. And it will change you inside. It will change your attitude. It will change your patience. It will change your understanding. And you'll be surprised at how many different ways that will play out, that concept. So, again, back there, looking at the clock, we said originally God created a trust where God was the grantor, you were the trustee. The beneficiary of that trust was every man, because you had to love your neighbor as yourself. You were given dominion so that you would be priest to all nations, all people, a blessing to all people. All men would be your brothers. So all your brothers are the beneficiaries of this trust, and you, of course, are the beneficiary of their trust. And the overseer, I guess, is the Holy Spirit. Now, in the governments of man, you are the grantor. You are the contributor. And the state is corporate. It's a king or a congress or something like that. They need an overseer. Well, surprisingly enough, there's a religious body often centered around old ancient Rome that is the overseer of a great many governments still to this day. Way back even before the Magna Carta, this was actually taking place. And he is the father of the European Union today. And he is allowed in the United Nations to speak, but he's not a member because he's the overseer. And he claims to be the kingdom of God at hand. But the one who decides who the kingdom of God is God. And he is the ultimate judge. So anyway, we won't get into that part of it, but so the kingdom of God set up by Christ, Christ took the kingdom away from the Pharisees, appointed it to men like Peter, James, and said, I appoint unto you a kingdom. But he said, you're not to be like the princes of all those other governments who exercise authority one over the other. So the church is literally a pure republic in which your leaders are titular. They can compel no offering. They can make no law. So they're still a kind of corporate government, but the elders within each congregation, they are the state. So see, even in the kingdom of God, the church is separate from the state. The ministers are separate. And we won't have time to go into all that, but we do in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. Some of that's covered also in the book, Free Church Report. All these books are available at hisholychurch.org for free. You can download them as PDFs. Most of them are there in the form of HTML codes, you know, like regular web pages. And we have hundreds of recordings, and hopefully we'll make more, and show you how Moses set millions of people free by teaching them the nature of God's government, how Jesus set millions of people, you know, thousands at first, but eventually millions of people free for almost 1,000 years. How have you got back into bondage? We go into that in Thy Kingdom Come, and of course in the Covenants of the Gods. But you have to make a choice to become a doer of the word, to seek the kingdom, to strive, to be a part of the perfect law of liberty, become minutemen for each other. Putting the weightier matters that Jesus lists off as law, judgment, mercy, and faith, putting those things first. And if you do that, you will find your way back to the liberty that God wanted you to live under from the very beginning. And, you know, I probably will say it in 100 different ways. We've got the network. If you join the network, we've got ministers. I actually have a couple guys right here in the room listening to me that have been traveling around, and we will start linking you up with the very rare gold and precious gems of the kingdom, which are those souls who are willing to change, willing to live like John the Baptist said. When they asked him how his welfare system worked, he says, if you got two coats and your neighbor has none, you share. But you choose. That's the perfect law of liberty. That's the higher power that God originally gave you. If you want to live in that government, you need to start coming together, and we'll show you step by step how to do that and prepare yourself for the day that, just like the Roman Empire, the government fell, so will this government fall. And
Brother Gregory,
you need something in place. Yes?
Another call before you go?
Yes?
Would you like to take another call before you go?
Oh, sure.
Oh, great. Caller 903. Do you have a question?
Yeah, that's me. Hi, Gregory. I met you when you came up to Texas. I have a quick question about property taxes. And where I live, they can, I have the computer on, so I have to separate myself. You can apply for an exemption to significantly reduce your tax. And I haven't done that because as I understand it, that is a benefit. So could you clarify that to me?
What kind of exemption are we talking about?
It's just a property, maybe it's just in my county, but you can file a homestead exemption. And that.
Oh, a homestead exemption? Well,
yeah,
you know, in some ways that may be a benefit, but, you know, when the Israelites, when they wanted to, I don't know, you know, depending on your status and stuff, you may have a right to that exemption within their system. When people left Egypt, they left as a body. When they left the government of Judea under Christ and the apostles, they left as a body. They were a separate government. This idea of people getting out of the system one at a time, and I remember a guy who used to say it, we're freeing people one at a time. That, there's no precedent for that in history. Moses wasn't taking people to the edge of the desert and saying, you're free, run for it. Your real freedom is going to come when you come together as an alternative form of government. In the meantime, if you have a right to a deduction or a reduction, maybe you have that right. You know, I can't speak to those on an individual basis. I know people who have not got birth certificates for their kids. They don't get Social Security numbers for the kids. They still pay their taxes, but they don't deduct their kids.
Right.
And because they want to have their kids free until they're 18, then they can decide whether they want to go into the system. But the ultimate answer is people coming together in congregations that recognize one another. We call them congregations of record. And begin to become that viable republic in the heart of the modern Roman Empire. That's the way the church was referred to by Gibbon. And, you know, until then, I mean, you don't own the property anyway. If they say they'll give you a little bit less taxes on it, maybe you have that right. Yeah, you know, there might be a lot of different things about it that we don't go down and apply for food stamps. We don't go down and apply for those kinds of out-of-pocket things. We don't mind if people contribute to the church and deduct it on their taxes. According to the law, they have that right to do it. But what we really have to do is create that alternative government, which is a network, which is a trust, that based on liberty, though, and that's going to be the answer to really being free. Homeschooling, home health, our seed saver network that we're starting to create, all these things are very important, and I think a lot of people are doing it, and we'll probably at one point begin to connect with a lot of other people. It's being written on their hearts what to do, and that's just what we have to do as a group. Yeah, the homestead exemption, I'm not sure that would make any difference with your status as an individual. It's just an exemption off of property you only have legal title to, and if anybody wants to know what that means, is they can look in Law versus Legal, which is third or fourth chapter of the book Covenants of the Gods, and find out why they don't own their land anymore.
Right.
In the kingdom of God, you should own your land. We're still a little ways away from that. First,
right.
We want to save the people.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to stop.
I met you in Texas. Now, what was your first name?
Stacy. You met us twice. We have the twin girls. We came to two of the events.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. Well, you know, I just want to stop participating as much as possible. So I didn't know if filling out that form is just another act of participation.
Well, to some degree it is, but it's connected to the land rather than the individual.
Right.
It's the land that has the exemption. And like I say, you don't own the land anyway. So, but really what you need is those networking congregations. We may have some people headed down to Texas. And the more you get into that network, the more you can meet. We're starting to get some results finally, after so many years, but we weren't networking at the beginning, just kind of coincidentally. I don't know why we didn't figure this out sooner. I'd love to see you. Well, I suppose your children are getting older and bigger.
Yeah, they are.
I'm always amazed when you don't see somebody for a little while and then you come back and I don't remember you kids all being this big.
Right. It's a blessing. They're doing great.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we appreciate all that you do. We really appreciate this broadcast, too. Our internet connection won't connect to the other two, but for some reason we can hear this one. So that's great. Thanks to both of you.
Okay. God bless.
Okay. Bye.
So I guess we're at the end of the show.
I know. It always goes by so fast. I can never believe that it's the end already. I always learn so much, and I get a wonderful sense of peace listening to you and the knowledge that you share. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me again.
You're very welcome.
Bye, Susie.
Okay, thank you very much, Freedomizers. You've been listening to the Sabbath Hour with Brother Gregory, and just after this short break, we'll be back with Team Free State. Thank you. We'll be back.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640.